The Medallion, Chapter 39. Corvin lay on his back, staring at the painted faces on the ceiling of the library in Cate Elba. Kale had suggested that he rest before they went up the tunnel to Kadir, but the bright light from the pool and the constant murmur of voices in the cubicles around him made it difficult to relax. He turned on his side. It was impossible to sleep as his thoughts kept circling back to Tsarek's betrayal and Kale's story about his father and mother. The way Kale talked, Corvin's family was the lowest class of people in the Corps, almost as low as the Broken. He had always pictured his grandfather as a man of great honor, but now Kale had him wondering if his grandfather had been another self-righteous crackpot, like the crazy leader of the rebels. The doorway curtain parted, and the tall woman who smiled at him when he first entered the library stepped inside, her blonde hair brushing the top of the curtain frame just like his mother's did when she entered his bedroom door at home. In fact, although this woman was younger, her facial features were similar to his mother's. "I brought you something to drink," she said, handing him a metal cup with handles on both sides. "This will make you sleep, but it might also give you vivid dreams. You will feel a bit dizzy when you first wake up, but that will pass and leave you feeling refreshed." Corvin knew without a doubt that he could trust her, just as he trusted his mother when she brought him medicine. He drained the cup. The woman took it from him and waited for him to lie back. Taking a soft, thin blanket from under her arm, she tucked it in around him. "Close your eyes and rest. You have a long journey ahead of you." "I can't sleep," he said. "Are you afraid?" The motherly tone of her voice brought a lump to Corvin's throat. "You have done well to come so far. Your father will be so proud of you when he is healed and comes out of the pool." "Will he ever be able to see again?" "Even better than before. I'd like to talk to him before I leave." "I know, but there isn't enough time. The gatehouse grows impatient, and Kale is running out of ways to stall the gatekeeper in his plans to attack Kadir. The fate of the Corps weighs heavily upon my counterpart. We both need your help before it is too late." She placed a hand on his forehead and he shut his eyes. He wanted to ask her about his grandfather and why Kale's grandfather hated his family, but a rush of warmth spread through his body, leaving him too exhausted to even open his eyes. The woman began to hum, and it almost sounded like the tune his mother used to sing to him when he was younger. The melody soaked up his worries, and he faded into sleep. Someone called his name, and Corvin lazily opened one eye. Was his mother calling him? She'd been here just a minute ago, and he'd forgotten to tell her that he loved her. Maybe he would draw her a picture with his crayons. He grinned. She'd given him too much cough syrup again. She'd done that once before, and he slept most of the day dreaming about weird things and talking like he was drunk. High above him, large painted faces were laughing at him, and Corvin had a sudden urge to laugh along with them, but then the voice called out again and he tried to sit up. His head swirled and his stomach heaved. He flopped back on the bed. "Mom? No, this is Kate. Where are you?" Her voice echoed inside his head. The medicine his mother gave him was making him hallucinate. "Can you hear me?" Corvin closed his eyes. "I hope I'm not going crazy," he thought. "You're not going crazy," Kate's voice came again. "I am in the chamber, and you can hear me talking through the medallion." "Medallion?" Corvin pulled a silver disc out from under his tunic and held it up to his ear. Kate's voice came through. "Where are you, Corvin?" Corvin pulled the medallion down to his mouth and spoke into the center of the circle. "I don't know. Where are you? In the city?" "I'm in the..." Her voice crackled and faded. Corvin tucked the disc away. The snowstorm had blown the lines down. They would fix it after the blizzard finished and Kate could call back. Right now, he just wanted to sleep. He pulled the covers over his head. Kate's voice came again. "Corvin, don't go to sleep. Where are you? Tell me what you can see." Corvin tugged the blanket down to his nose and focused on the faces on the ceiling. He couldn't quite put the words together to describe them. The only thing he could think of was that they were watching him. "Who's watching you? Can they see you now? Can you get away from them?" Kate's voice was making his head hurt. Corvin studied the faces. Their eyes were open, but they didn't seem to be looking directly at him. They were looking at the blue light instead. "They can't see me, Kate, and I'm too tired to go anywhere." Kate's voice pierced the fog in his head. "You can't sleep. Keep talking to me in your mind." Corvin pictured Kate and tried to imagine talking to her, but the image faded away. "My mind is too fuzzy from the medicine she gave me. I'm too sleepy." "Corvin!" Kate shouted. "You must get away from there. Don't take any more of their medicine. They want to make you into a Rakash so you can destroy Kadir." "But the tall man is letting my father swim in a pool of light so I can find my mother." "You aren't making any sense. Your mother is at home and your father... Your father's dead, Corvin. The man is lying to you. You need to get out of there. Corvin pushed himself up on all fours under the blanket, like his dog used to do. He laughed to himself and growled. What are you doing? Kate said. You're frightening me. Don't be afraid, Kate. I'll hold your paw. He choked on a giggle and his head swam. Quit talking nonsense. Are you standing up? I'd rather crawl. It's dizzy in here. Then crawl until the dizziness passes, but just keep moving. Please, Corvin, don't give up. Crawling over to the curtain, Corvin pushed his head out and studied the light from the pool shooting up to the ceiling. The large faces are drinking blue soda pop through a huge straw. Corvin! Kate's voice punctured his fuzzy world. What are you saying? That isn't pop, it's poison. Can you stand up? I can try, he thought, and grabbed a hold of the frame. Putting one hand over the other, he pulled himself up, but the room tilted sideways as if the water would soon flow out of the pool. That would be funny. My father is going to ride the blue water to the other side of the room. I don't understand what you're saying. Can you see a way out of there? Kate was getting upset. He should try to help her calm down and do what she asked. He looked toward the doors at the top of the stairs, but the room was far too slanted for him to go that way. It would be easier to go downhill, and he could see a small door beyond the four stone people who were staring into the blue water. Those people are watching my father swimming. My mother won't like that. Just head toward the door. Stay far away from those people. Corvin tottered out, dragging his blanket behind him. A girl with short cropped hair and big round eyes, like in a comic book, sat on the edge of the pool, her black cape thrown back over her shoulder. The girl was washing her hands and light dripped from her fingertips. He'd seen her somewhere before. Hi, girl! He waved at her as he stumbled forward, bumping into something hard and falling to the floor. In an instant, the girl was dragging him under the shadow of whatever he'd bumped into. Be quiet, she whispered. Sure, I can be quiet, but just for you. Corvin touched her face. A nice person was going to help him. Who are you talking to? Who is so nice to help you? Kate's voice filled his head, and Corvin stuck a finger up to his mouth and the words slurred together. She's a girl with beautiful eyes. The girl reached up and clamped a hand over his mouth, but she was smiling. Be quiet, or they'll hear you. Pulling on his hand, she dragged him out from under a round shadow. Get up, she whispered in his ear. Corvin stumbled as she pulled him along, but she managed to keep him on his feet. You're pretty strong for such a short girl, he whispered. You remind me of a girl I met, and I kissed her. Are you with Atiya? Kate's voice asked. Yeah, that's her name, Atiya. She has beautiful big eyes. The girl helped Corvin sit on a padded bench by the wall and sat down next to him. Was Atiya the girl with the raisin cakes? He liked those a lot, and he really wanted a snack. He leaned toward her. Can I taste your cakes? Shaking her head, she pushed him firmly back against the wall. You need to close your eyes and rest. They gave you a drug. Don't talk. But Kate's irritating voice was talking at the same time. How did Atiya get to you? Why are you thinking about kissing her? Did Kate want him to kiss this girl? He leaned over to the girl on the bench, flopping against her. I think I should kiss you. The girl grinned and shook her head. Maybe later. The girl grinned and shook her head. Maybe later. First you need to sleep until this wears off. She helped him lie flat on the cushion. I'll be back as soon as I look around a bit. Promise me you'll stay here. She covered him with the blanket. I promise that I will stay with you forever. Corvin closed his eyes and turned toward the wall, but Kate kept talking on and on about Atiya. Leave me alone, Kate. I want to sleep. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Her voice went silent.